Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Vav. We will begin on Daf Hey Amud Beis. The last words in Amar Rav Ashi Amar. As we have been learning from the beginning in Masechta, the shliach who delivers a get, certainly if he brings it from Medina Siyam, must say b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam. And as we've been discussing Machlokes Rava, why? And Rava taught us that the reason is because in Chutz Laaretz they weren't familiar with the halacha of Lishma, that a get has to be written Lishma, and that's why the get that's delivered from Chutz Laaretz, who have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. So now the Gemara is going to focus at how do we know that it was indeed written Lishma? How could that shliach, at what point can the shliach be sure that the get was written Lishma? So Rav Ashi says, Afilu, if the shliach heard kan kalmasa, how the shofar is preparing the pen, the kan megilta, how it's preparing the parchment on which he's going to write the get, that is considered enough that he could say this testimony. So Rashi gives two pshatim, afilu kan kalmasa and kan kalmasa kan megilta. The first pshat that Rashi suggests is that the pen for which the get is written has to be prepared to be written with. And if somebody heard how the cipher is preparing that get, and he heard that the cipher is preparing that lishma, that is adequate for him to be able to say testimony. The Rosh explains, as long as he hears that the cipher, as he's preparing, that all the preparation he needs to do to write a get, he's saying, I'm writing the get for this couple, it's adequate. But the second pshat that Rashi suggests, the kan komasa kan gilta, in this pshat Rashi says, is he hears how the cipher is writing the get. And when you write with the paper, when you write with this type of a pen, and you write on a cloth, there's a sound that sounds like kan kan, and if he hears that sound, that's adequate. And here too, the Achronim suggest that what's meant to be taught with this pshat is that first he hears how the husband approaches the cipher and tells the cipher, I would like you to please write a get to divorce me and my wife. And after he hears the husband give those instructions to he hears the cipher writing a get, that's enough to be able to say that it was done with Shema. Rabbeinu Chananel says that you don't have to be so strict. As long as he hears the husband tell the cipher, please write this get, and then he sees the cipher take the paper, take the parchment, and take the pen, that is enough for it to be considered as if the get was written Lishma. The Ozerua says that all the Peshatim may be Emes. The point is that it has to be something that he can recognize that the get is being written Lishma. However, Tosfos says that even though we're learning now that Kan Kalmasa, Kan Megilta is adequate, someone who's blind would not be able to say B'fani Nechtav. And as the Maram explains, Tosfos, the Maram explains that B'fani Nechtav means that I saw the get written and signed. Everything that we're learning in our shiur today, in this line of Gemara today, is that this will be adequate for him to be able to say B'fani Nechtav. But it isn't true that he could say b'fani nechtam when he's blind. And if those words cannot be said, that they should be true, he can't say those words. The Shmuel says that even though we're being lenient as far as the soifer writing the get, and that he's writing the get, and we just hear whatever we've been describing as adequate, says the Shmuel, that's only as far as the soifer is concerned. But as far as the Edom are concerned, to be able to testify about the signature of the Edom, you can only testify about the signature of the Edom if you actually see them signing. Anything else will not work. Tanya, says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei Derav Ashi, there's a Braisa that supports Rav Ashi's opinion, because the Braisa says, Hanevi get Medina Sayam, if somebody brings a gift from Medina Sayam, Afilu Huba Bayis, even if the Shliach is downstairs, Vasoifa Balia and the Soifer is upstairs, or vice versa, Huba Aliya, the Shliach is upstairs, the Soifer Bayis and the Soifer is downstairs, Afilu Nichnas V'yotzeku Yom Kula, and even if he wasn't there all day long, in all these cases, kosher. Says the Gemara, but ask the Gemara, how could it be that Huba Bayis, if the Shliach is downstairs, the Soifer Balia and the Soifer is upstairs, how could that be a situation where you could say b'fani nachtav, like a chazile, he doesn't seem at all. El alaf, how do we have to explain? Kim the shama, kama gilta, even though he didn't hear see anything, but he heard, it's a raya that is good enough, and that's exactly what Rav Ashi taught us, that you don't have to see. You just have to, as long as you hear, it's good enough. Amamar, continues the Gemara, we just learned in the Braisa, that filo nichnas v'yotze kol hayom kula, that even if the shliach is not there, even if somebody's not there all day, the get is kosher. But the Gemara, the Braisa, did not identify who's the person who's not there all day. Ilei shliach. It will say that the Brice is referring to the Shliach. Says the Gemara, Hashtahu Bebais with Soifer Belia. In a case where he and the Shliach and the Soifer are not even on the same floor of the house, he doesn't see him at all. Amrit Kosher was saying the get's going to be kosher. So certainly, if Nichnas V'yotz, if he goes in and out of the room in which the Soifer is actually writing the get Mebaya, what's the question? Ella Soifer. So the Gemara, they're talking that the Soifer has been going in and out. Ask the Gemara Pshita, why would that be a disqualification? Mishum de nichnas v'yotze, because the Soifer doesn't remain in the same place the entire time when the get is being written. The nichnas v'yotze nifsalena, why would that be a reason to disqualify the get? Says the Gemara, leitzricha de nafak l'shuka, that the Soifer went out and came back. Vasa. He may be found somebody else in when he was outside who has the same name as the husband of the get that he's in the middle of writing. And the wife has the same name as the get of the woman for whom he's writing the get. And he asked them to write her get, a read a get. And maybe we should be concerned that now he's going to, and maybe that man's in a rush, and he wants the get to be immediately available, so he says, the get that I'm in the middle of, I'll use for you. Kamash Malan, what the Bryce is teaching us is, we need not be concerned about that. Itma. So, as we've been learning from the beginning of the Masechta, when a get is delivered, b'fani nechtam has to be declared. So says the Gemara, Itma Rav Amar Bavel, when we speak about Bavel, Rav Amar Ketzisrael Gittin, and just like we learned in our Mishnah in Eretz Yisrael, b'fani nachtam need not be said, so too in Bavel. B'shmul Amar, chutz laretz, the Bavel is treated l'chutz laretz. Suggest the Gemara, Lema, b'akam ufki, what is the basis of the machloikus of Rav Shmuel? The Marsover, Rav's opinion is that the reason we say b'fani nachtam b'fani nachtam, l'fish ein begin l'shma, because we're concerned that the get was not written l'shma. The Hani Gemiri, but the people from Bavel were Tamid Chachamim, and there's no need to be concerned that it wasn't written properly. Masava, whereas Shmuel's concern is, as Rav has been saying, that the concern is that if there's going to be an issue raised with the get, there won't be anybody here to certify the get. And therefore, between Bavel and Yisrael, there's Hani Namila, Shlicha, people don't travel, and we need to be concerned. So Tysus explains that the subject that's being discussed in this Gemara is if a get is being delivered from one Medina to another Medina in Babel itself. Rav's opinion is that Bava was treated like Etz Yisrael, and just like a get that's brought from one Medina to another Medina in Etz Yisrael, b'fanei nechtam doesn't need to be said, so too in Bava. And Shmuel says that no, that Bava is like Chutz Laretz, and if somebody brings a get from one Medina to another Medina in Bava, you have to say b'fanei nechtam. But, says Tosfos, if somebody is bringing a get within one Medina in Bava, there would be no machlokes. Both Rav and Shmuel would agree that you don't have to say under those circumstances b'fanei nechtam. And regarding the question, if somebody brings a get from Bava to Etz Yisrael, says Tosfos, that is not yet being discussed. So we just said that the Gemara wanted to suggest that the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is actually the machlokes of Rava and Rava. And the way the Rishonim explain that the Gemara is saying now the Rav holds like Rava, that the issue is Lishma, the way the Tosfos HaRosh explains the Gemara is that Rav is saying that it was at this point of the Gemara that Bava was always a place of Talmid Chachamim, and since Bava was always a place of Talmid Chachamim, there was never the issue of Lishma never came up in Bava, and that's why b'fanei nechtam wasn't instituted in Bava. But ask the Gemara, how can we explain Rav and Shmuel's machlokes that way? The Tisbara, haven't we been learning over the last number of Dafin that Rav is like the Rava? And even though Rav introduced the concern of Lishma, Rav agrees that the issue of Mitzuyin L'Kaim is still a situation. So if Rav's whole opinion is because he holds like Rav, so yes, Lishma is not a consideration, as we've been learning. But the issue of Ein Eidim Mitzuyin L'Kaimai is an issue according to everybody. And why would Rav say that in Bavel they need not say B'fanei nechtam, B'fanei nechtam? Ella says the Gemara, Ella the Kula Alma, everybody agrees that the reason B'fanei nechtam is because of the issue of Kiyum. We need to have people that could certify to get. Rav Sover, however, Rav's opinion is Kiyum and Ikim is Sifta. There were yeshivas. There was a yeshiva in Surah where Rav lived. There was a yeshiva in the Hadar where Shmuel lived. Mishka Shrichi, people were constantly traveling back and forth. And since they were constantly traveling back and forth, there's no concern that we won't have people who are available to certify to get. The Shmuel Sava, Shmuel's opinion is that people who are learning in yeshiva for Gesaya Treaty are very busy with their learning. And there's two ways of explaining this. One way of explaining it is that they don't travel. But that's a difficult shot, because how could they be arguing on a fact if they do travel or don't travel? So therefore, the Mefarshim explained that the Machlokes is, since they're busy learning, they're not familiar with people's signatures. That's Shmuel's opinion. And Rav's opinion is that even though they're busy learning, to be able to know what somebody's signature is, that isn't something that they don't know. It manami, says the Gemara, Amar of Abba, Amar of Huna, Asinu atzmeinu b'bavol, ketz Yisrael l'gitin. We in Bavol are like Etz Yisrael as far as Hilchus Gitin, michi osin Rav b'bavol. Once Rav came to Bavol, and he established the yeshiva in Surah, and Shmuel has yeshiva in Ador, and people were traveling back and forth, since people were always traveling back and forth, there's no concern that there won't be somebody to be mekayim to get, to certify to get. And certainly, the concern that we've been discussing, that they don't know Lishma, since they're Talmidim Chachamim, that concern is not there. Ask the Gemara, Moser of Yehuda Mir. So Rav Yehuda asked a question. We learned that our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda, when Rav Yehuda establishes the borders of Etz Yisrael, Rav Yehuda Oymer Rekel HaMizrach, the Rekem, from Rekem to the east side of the world, is considered outside of Etz Yisrael, and therefore somebody brings a get from there, has to say B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Ashkelon L'Dorim, from Ashkelon south, is considered outside of Etz Yisrael. Ashkelon K'dorim, Me'ako L'Tzofen, from Akko and north,
is considered chutz laretz v'akka ketzofa. Ask the Gemara, v'bavel l'tzvayin etz Yisrael kaima. Bavel is to the north of etz Yisrael. The ksiv, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, v'ema Hashem elai, mitzofen teftach hara, that the enemy will come from Bavel, which is north of etz Yisrael. Tanan, we learned further in the Mishnah, Ramei Aima Akka Ketz Yisrael L'Gitin. Ramei is more lenient. And he says that Akko is treated like Ketz Yisrael for Gitin. Says the Gemara, Afil Ramei, even Ramei who takes the more lenient and has a bigger territory for Ketz Yisrael, like Kama Ba'Akko, who said Akko, the Mikrova, which is close to Ketz Yisrael, therefore he says it should be treated like Ketz Yisrael. Ava Bavel, which is very far away, there's no question that it's not part of Etz Yisrael, and you have to say the Mishnah is teaching us. Answers the Gemara, who Meisel Avuhu Mefarakla? He was the one that asked the question, and he answers Levar Mebavel. Yes, any area to the north of Akoi is certainly a place where you have to say Befani Nachtam, Befani Nachtam. Bavel is an exception, says the Gemara. Hechni Bavel. What are the borders of Bavel that we're learning now? You don't have to say Befani Nachtam, Befani Nachtam. Amra Papa, K'machloikus L'yuchsu, K'ach Machloikus L'gitten. There's a Machloikus that we have. What Bavel is considered, that the people of Bavel are considered Miuchasim, a pure genealogy. Not only are they considered people of pure genealogy, they're even considered a more pure genealogy than the people in Eretz Yisrael. But the question is, what is Bavel? So Rav Papa says, K'machloikus L'yuchsu, K'ach Machloikus L'gitten. Rav Yosheimer, Machloikus L'yuchsin. We have Rav and Shmuel's Machloikus regarding Yuchsin. Avel Gutten, Divri Hakol, Ad Abba Tanina Degishra. Until that area of Abba Tanina Degishra, everybody agrees is that's the border for Etz Yisrael. So, the Panovich Rav asks the question. The Gemara asks, for Bavel, with Tzvayna Shet Yisrael Kaima. Bavel's to the north of Etz Yisrael. And how did the Gemara prove it? The Gemara proved it because Mitzofen Tiftach Hara. Because from Bavel, that's where the problems will begin. So ask the Panovich Rav, we need a pasuk to tell us that Bavel is to the north of Etz Yisrael. Take a map and you'll see that Bavel is to the north of Etz Yisrael. So the Panovich Rav says, from here we see that everything is in the Torah. And everything that we learn should be learned from the Torah. Even though we can learn geography, but the place that a Jew takes a geography lesson is from the Torah, and that's why the Gemara used the pasuk to teach this. Says the Gemara, Chizda Matzrich, Rav Chizda said that when somebody brings a get from Aktisfin, which was outside of Bavel, to Be'ardisha, which is in Bavel, he says he has to say Befani Nachtam, Befani Nachtam. However, somebody brings me Ardisha L'Aktifson, but if he brought a get from Ardisha to Aktifson, Loi Matzuch, he didn't require him to say Befani Nachtam. Lema, says the Gemara, what is the basis for Rav Chizda's opinion? Says the Gemara, because Rav Chizda's opinion is that Befani Nachtam, Befani Nachtam is recited because of Lishma, Lefishayim Bikin Lishma, and therefore the people in Aktifson who were outside of Bavel didn't know Lishma, and that's why they have to say Befani Nachtam, Befani Nachtam. The people in Be'ardisha were in Bavel, and they did know the halacha of Lishma, and that's why they don't have to say Befani Nachtam, Befani Nachtam. But ask the Gemara, is that the way to understand Rav Chizda's ruling? But Tisbara, haven't we keep on repeating the Rav Islay the Rav? Even if we take the Lishma consideration off the table, there's still the issue of Kiyum, that we have Edom. So why does he differentiate in which direction the get went? Says the Gemara. Ella, correct, says the Gemara. To call Amabin Ilakaimer. The reason for Befani Nechtam is because of Kiyum. However, Ahani, the people for Bnei Ardisha, Kivan the Azil Shukah Hasam, would always go to do business in Aktifson. Hanach, so the people in Aktifson, Yadi Bechasimus Yadi Dahani, were familiar with the signatures of the people of the of Ardisha. And since they were familiar with their signatures, they, if an issue comes up with the signatures, they could be, there are plenty of people to be called on to be able to certify the signature. The Hani, but the people of Ardisha don't know the signature of the people of Tisim. My Tama, the Shukai treaty. The people from Ardisha that come to Tisim are busy doing business, and they don't, when they come, they don't look at people's handwriting. And therefore, get the customer Ardisha to Tisim, the Bay at Tisim, know the signature, and if they know the signatures of the people of Bnei Ardisha, and therefore, they could say, we have people who could say testimony, and there's no reason to say about the signatures, and therefore there's no reason to say b'fani nachtam. But if somebody brings a get from Aktisrin to Ardisha, since the people of Ardisha are not familiar with the signatures of the people of Aktisrin, they have to say b'fani nachtam. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Baravu Matzrich, Rabbi Baravu required that b'fani nachtam should be said mi'arsel arsel. If there was a row of houses on one side of the street of the Rosh Hashanah, and then there was another row of houses on the other side, he said that that's enough of a reason to say b'fani nachtam. Rav Sheshis was even stricter. U'matzrich mishchuna l'shchuna. A shchuna is three houses grouped together. And he says, even though they're on the same side of the road, you have to say b'fani nachtam. Rava matzrich b'ayis shchuna, even if somebody grew up within that same neighborhood. Ask the Gemara, v'ha Rava u'davel fisha eidem tzuyim l'kayma. We don't have witnesses. If they live all next to each other, certainly they'll be able to say testimony in the sand on their signatures. Answers the Gemara, Shani b'nei nechuzu d'naidi. They're never home, and they're always traveling on business. And therefore, since they're always traveling, they're not going to be available to recognize the signatures. Says the Gemara, Rav Kahana would tell us, Rav Kahana brought a get, v'lo yedina, I'm not quite certain, im asur l'nadah, was this get brought from the surah to Nadom and Nadol the surah? Also came to Rav. He came to Rav. And Amalei, Rav Kahana said to Rav, Tzrichna. L'meim b'fani nachtam b'fani nachtam. He asked him, Alei Tzrichna? Amalei, Alei Tzrichna. Because Rav was repeating his halacha that he's been saying throughout Ashir. Rav was telling him that Bavel is considered like Eretz Yisrael. But since Bavel is considered like Eretz Yisrael, just like in Eretz Yisrael, from one place to another, you don't have to say b'fani nachtav. Here also not. Says the Gemara, the Avdis Ahanis. Says the Gemara, if somebody, even though, as we just learned, is not required to say b'fani nachtav, but if he did, Ahanis. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Ma'i Avdis Ahanis, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, the Asa Balam Arur, if the husband will come and raise an issue about the get, if this was a get that it was said b'fani nechtam, the get will be considered a valid get that the husband can't, the husband cannot invalidate. And the way Tosfos and other Rishonim explained the Gemara, that we would maybe think that only in a case where Chazal instituted that b'fani nechtam should be said, that's where it is effective. But where it wasn't instituted, that it has to be said, maybe over there, it won't be effective, teaches us the Gemara, that even if it doesn't have to be said, if it was said, it's effective. Ketanya, and the Gemara corroborates this with a brisa. The Gemara tells us, there was somebody who brought a get to Rabbi Shmuel. Must I say it or not? So he asked him, from where are you bringing this get? So he responded, I'm coming from Kvas Asoy. B'fani nachtam, b'fani nachtam. You have to say it. Shlo tzokik l'edim, that if there are edim that will, that if there will be the husband will come and issue and raise an issue with the get, you won't need to have edim. Lacha shiyotza, after that person left the room, nichnas l'fani Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Loi came in front of Rabbi Shmuel, amalei, and he said, Rabbi Loi said to Rabbi Shmuel, Rebbe, v'lakvas esoyim v'vlas v'tchom et Yisrael. It's within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. The Kroivel at Sepura Yos Market, it's even more closer to the mainland of Eretz Yisrael, even more than Akkoi. But Tanan, and we've been learning, we quoted this earlier in our shir, the Ramei Oimer, Akkoi Eretz Yisrael. But Legitin, that Akkoi is considered like Eretz Yisrael. But Fil Rabbanan, like Pligi Elei the Rameya, the Rabbanan who disagree with Ramei only disagree Ela Ba'akkoi, by Akkoi the Marchika, which is far from Eretz Yisrael. The Kvar V'loi, everybody will agree that it's considered part of Eretz Yisrael. So why are you requiring, he asked them, to say B'fani Nachtam, B'fani Nachtam? Amaloi, so Shmuel heard what he said, that in his question, and he understood what he was questioning, is that a B'fani Nachtam need not be said, if it's, even if it's said, it's meaningless. He said, Shtoik. He said, Amalei, Shtoik b'ni Shtoik. Please remain quiet. However, Heter, Yotza. Once I've taught this new halacha, that even in a case where B'fani Nechtam doesn't need to be said, it accomplishes, that's why I leave it that way. So, from we see here, that the way Rabbi Loi understood what Rabbi Shmuel went to say, was that he does have to say B'fani Nechtam after Nechtam. Says the Gemara, there's no machlaikas. Reb Shmuel only said that you can. So why is there a machlaikas? Says the Gemara, L'saim Kamei. What happened was, when it was reported to Rabbi Loi, where Shmuel, what Rabbi Shmuel said, it was reported as if, he says you always have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam, which was difficult for him to accept. Had he heard that Rabbi Shmuel says, you don't have to say it, but you can say it, and it will help you, there will be no argument. Shalach le Rabbi Yisrael Rav Chizda, Gittin Maboim Misham Lekan, Gittin that come from Bavot Et Yisrael, Ein Tzach Lema, there's no need to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. Lema, so again, says the Gemara, presumably, why was this the Psak? Kesover, because Rabbi Yosef was of the opinion that b'fani nachtam has to be said l'fish ein b'kin l'shma v'hani gemiri, and that's why it doesn't have to be said. But ask the Gemara again, v'tizbara, even if l'shma is not a consideration, but ask the Gemara v'tizbara for Rabbi l'slei d'rova, and Rabbi also agrees that there's a concern about edim, that there won't be edim to certify to get. El d'kul ama, the primary concern is being a l'kaimai. However, the Kivan, the Ikka, Rabbi, the Salki, the Nachsi, there are many people that are constantly traveling back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So there's always Mishka Shkichi, you'll always be able to find people to certify the get if there's an issue raised with it. Amar Rabbi Yosef, to which Rabbi Yosef asks, Man Leimelon, Rabbi Yosef Bas Simchahu, why are we so concerned about Rabbi Yosef and what he's saying? Who says that Rabbi Yosef is a reliable person? Maybe we don't have to take what he says seriously. Says the Gemara, Ha'iu, but ask the Gemara, Va'oid, Ha'iu, did Rabbi Yosef say Shalach le Rabbi Yehuda? May Adam Ha'olam Misham Lakan, individuals who come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn, and came about Atzmam, what they're doing is something unacceptable. He said, because what they're doing is Vietnam was a yellow bazoina, the Yalda Machra Bayan Vishtu. They would go off from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. They would leave their families without a source of income, and their mothers would have to sell the children or make the children do labor, which maybe wasn't befitting. The cost of lay. And he wrote this pasuk in Yoel, and he wrote B'lai Sirta without underlining it. And we know that the halacha is that Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Shtayim Kaisim that two words of a pasuk may be written without underlining shalish and kaisvim, but three not. We must nisa tana. The brisa says shalish kaisvim. Three letters could be written without underlining. Arba and kaisvim. So we saw that he wrote these letters, these words, without underlining. That there's an issue if he truly is a Talmud Chacham. So why are you taking his position so seriously? So here our Gemara introduces the concept of sirta. That the halach is that when you write three or four words of a pasuk, they have to be underlined. Tosfos quotes a Gemara Masechta Menachos, that's Lamed Beis on a base, that one can't use parshias of an old pair of tefillin from mezuzah. And the reason is because there's a halacha Moshe Sinai that a mezuzah must have sirtut, and tefillin don't have sirtut. And therefore, the parsha that was written for tefillin without sirtut cannot be used for the mezuzah, which requires sirtut. As Tosfos, that even if there's no halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that tefillin needs sirtut, but we're learning now in the Gemara that whenever you write three words of a pasuk or four words, you need sirtut. So tefillin should require sirtut. So Tosfos answers that there are two types of sirtut. There's a single line that's etched into the top line of the page, or there are lines etched into every single line. Says Tosfos, the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that says the mezuzah has to have sirtut teaches us that every line of the mezuzah has to be underlined. But that's not the type of sirtut that you need in other cases. In other cases, a single sirtut on the top of a page on which you have Divrei Torah is all that's required. And that's all that's required for the tefillin. And since that's all that's required for the tefillin, you can't substitute parshas from the tefillin for the mezuzah. The Kesef Mishnah says a different pshat. The Kesef Mishnah says that sirtut, as we're learning, only applies if there's three words of Torah on the line. The Gemara in Masechta Menachos that speaks about sirtut by a mezuzah is even if you only have two words. So that's what happened here, says the Kesef Mishnah. The Gemara Masechta Menachos refers to a case where two words were written per line by the tefillin. So there was no requirement for sirtut, but it can't be substituted for tefillin, for mezuzah, which always needs sirtut. We learned the Masechta Saita, the Yud Zayin Amabez, that a Megillah Saita, the parsha of the Saita that they wrote and erased, must write sirtut. Says Tosfos, that not only may one not write a Megillah Saita without sirtut, but if somebody writes such a Megillah Saita without sirtut, that it can't be used for the Saita. Tosfos does ask, what would be the halacha if after you wrote this Megillah Saita, you didn't have sirtut, can it be corrected by making sirtut after you wrote it? So the Kivayegah says, from the Gemara that we quoted, Masechta Menachos, the Gemara in Masechta Menachos says that you can't, as we learned, you can't substitute the parshas of tefillin and put them into mezuzah. Why? Because they lack sirtut. But if the halakhu is that you could always make sirtut afterwards, so why is it hopeless? Why can't you substitute? Make the sirtut and the tefillin afterwards. From here, says Rav Akiva Eiger, making sirtut afterwards is too late. Tosfos also says that even though we're learning that in certain circumstances sirtut is required, in certain circumstances sirtut is not required, but says Tosfos, it's a nice thing that the sofer should always write with sirtut, because there's a concept of zeh keli vaveyu, and zeh keli vaveyu means that the sofer should write straight, and that's what's accomplished with sirtut. So, of course, the question is, we often see Divrei Torah written, and we don't have Sirtut. Why not? So there's a number of reasons when Sirtut doesn't have to be written. One is when the Divrei Torah are being written specifically for that I want to quote a pasuk. But if I'm only using it as the way to express myself, Sirtut doesn't have to be written, doesn't have to take place. Another point is that Sirtut is only required when it's done Bilksav Ashuris, the lettering of the Sefer Torah. But if it's not done Bilksav Ashuris, then there's no requirement for Sirtut. And those that actually, the question that always comes up is with invitations, with the pasuk kol sasim, kol simcha, kol chasim, kol kala, are written on invitations. And there's some people that when they write those words, are always careful to divide the pasuk and not have all of the words in one line. Because as we're learning now, once you have more than three or four words, there may be a requirement for Sirtut. This is the way that we could avoid Sirtut. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, Ata Kodla Yoda Ha. Just because somebody doesn't know the halacha of Sirtut, Lav Gav Rabbi Hu, the Rav Yitzchak, doesn't know the halacha of Sirtut, the Rav Yitzchak taught us, Lav Gav Rabbi Hu, says the Gemara, Bishlam Nilsa the Torah B'Svara. If something depends on logic, L'chai, somebody says an incorrect logic, we could understand why we could question his greatness. Ha, this is a halacha that they learned. Says the Gemara, Amalei, ha Gemara hi, Gemara l'shmilei. He never learned this halacha. Void, harav of Yosahu, I could show you that Rav Yosef was the individual to ask him marm al yodei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I agree that what he said. Says the B'nai Yisoschar that what you learn from here is that somebody who's able to say a Dvar Torah, and the Dvar Torah is a correct Dvar Torah, is even greater than somebody that saw Eliyahu HaNavi. Because as we're going to learn in our Gemara that Rebbe Yosser met Eliyahu HaNavi. The fact that he met Eliyahu HaNavi isn't proof that he's great. What is the proof that he is great, says the Gemara, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with his Dvar Torah. Being right in the Dvar Torah is the highest level. The Pasuk says that there was a man who was married to a Pelegish, and they came to Binyamin, to Sheva Binyamin, as we're going to learn. How did they end up there? Because the Tizna of Bilaksha, she acted improperly, and she ran to her father's home. What happened that the husband got angry at her? Rav Yosef Mizvuv Matzala, he found a fly. Rav Yonasam Nima Matzala, he found a hair. Vashkhe Rav Yosef Eliyo. Rav Yosef met Eliyo Anovi. Amalei, and Rav Yosef asked Eliyo Anovi, my covenant Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's a Kodesh Baruch Hu doing at this moment? Amalei Osim B'Pelagish B'Giver. He's learning the parasha B'Pelagish B'Giver on my cover. And what's he saying? Amalei Avyosu B'Nai Kachoimer. Eliyosu says that this was the way the story was. V'Yonasu B'Nai Kachoimer. Amalei Chas V'Sholem. So Eliyosu says to Eliyahu HaNavi, Umi Ikasveik Kamishmaya. Can HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a doubt what happened? Amalei, so Eliyahu answered him, Elu V'Elu both are correct. The question was, how did it happen? Zvub matzo v'lo hikbid. First he found the worm, and he wasn't upset, and then nima matzo v'hikbid. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is studying. So I saw a beautiful pshat, that what does it mean when we have machlokes? So, just like when we have an electric plug, we could stick different appliances in the plug. The plug gives electricity, it gives energy, and different appliances will do different things. So too are we to look at our learning. When we learn Torah, we're connected to the Dvar Hashem. But each one of us is a different appliance. And therefore, since each one of us is a different appliance, we react and we learn Torah in a different way. Here we see that that Rav Yosser was able to see Gilu Eliyahu, and that and the Shas Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim discusses, and he says that great people in all generations are able to see Eliyahu HaNavi. And the Divrei Chaim, the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Chaim Yoredei Chelek Beis Siman Kuf Hei, says that there was a Rebbe in a yeshiva in his town, and he said that the Sefer Orach Chaim was not written with Ruach HaKodesh, because there is no Ruach HaKodesh in our days anymore. And the Divrei Chaim demanded that that Rebbe be removed from his position. The Divrei Chaim says that it may not be as prevalent as it was in the time of the Nevi'im and earlier times, but certainly it still exists. Ruach HaKodesh still exists by great people like the Orach Chaim. And the Rebbe who cannot teach that to his Talmidim is not worthy to be a Rebbe. Amar Yehuda, so the Gemara explains what happened with the fly, what happened with the ear. Amar Yehuda Zvuv Bekara, he found a fly in the plate, V'nima Baisamakam, and the hair was found in the private parts. Zvuv Misnasasi, Zvuv, a fly is mis. V'nima, if there's a hair found there, when he has the relations with his wife, it could cause that he should get hurt. Ikadamri, idi bikara. They were both found in the plate. Zvuv is unso. A fly is beyond his control. Nima, but a hair is pshusoy. You should be careful not to let the plate get dirty. A person should be careful not to bring fear into his home. When this happened, the wife got very scared and she ran away. And then we know the famous or infamous story, Plegish Begiva, the Pilo Kamaravavas Misrael, thousands and thousands of Jews were killed at that time. And if the wife was not scared of the husband, this would have never happened. Amar Yehuda Marav, Kolamatal Emi Yisrael B'Tach Beisai, Soif Fubola De Sholosh Averis. He's going to bring three Averis, Gila Arayis, that his wife will do Gila Arayis, V'Shvichas Damim, V'Chil Shabbos. All of these things happen because of the way, because of what happens in a family in this case. The Ben Yoyada brings a very interesting story. He says that there was once a husband who was very tough with his wife. His wife was scared of him. And the wife prepared for a husband dinner a bowl full of milk. In those days, as we often see throughout Shas, there was a concern about snakes, and any liquid that was left unopened, there was concern that a snake might have left his venom in that liquid, and therefore they didn't drink it. In this case, it was even worse, he explains. The snake, actually, the wife saw the snake drinking from that bowl of milk. But what she should have done is spilled out the milk. But she was so scared that her husband would be upset if the bowl of milk that he was expecting wasn't there, so she just let him drink it. And he died because there was venom in the bowl. Had he not brought that type of environment to the home, atmosphere to the home, it would have never ended up this way. What pshat did these three things bring? That Amy Sarah brings these three things. So Seif L'Shmoy L'Modim explains that by Arayah says, Rak Ein Yeres Olkim Makom Hazeh. By Shvich Stamim, we're in a place where there's near no Yerushmayim, there's Gil Arayah. The Pasuk by Shvich Stamim say that why did the Miyaldos in Mitzrayim not agree to kill the Jewish boys? Because the Pasuk says, V'ayu Kiyor HaMiyaldos Es Olkim. Shabbos is connected to Yerushalayim, because the pasuk says, "Eshepsoyse tishmeru u'magdashe turo." When a person brings extra ema, fear, in his home, what he's doing is he's substituting his yira, he's substituting the yira that he expects people to have for him versus the yira they should have for Hashem. And when you don't have Yerushalayim, these averus happen. Another pshat that Rashi suggests is when a person brings fear in the home, sometimes a woman doesn't go to the mikveh because it's very cold. They didn't have warm mikvehs. And she's going to be scared to tell her husband. Sometimes it could lead to shvich stamim, as in the story of Pelegish Begiva. And sometimes it could bring to Chil Shabbos, because the Zman of Shabbos comes, and the Zman of Shabbos comes, and the wife did not finish preparing Shabbos, and she's scared to tell her husband that she hasn't finished preparing Shabbos, because he'll be upset that all the food and other things that he expects for Shabbos aren't there. And therefore, the Emir Seir that he created could bring these three others.